You know, when I wear these African shirts, I have people either alleging or insinuating it's because I do not want to wear a tie. Tom, do you get that as well, or is that just specially for me? Okay, all right. Well, I can neither confirm nor deny such allegations. Well, Tanzania, 2014 through 2017, actually, we've been there for longer than that. We've been there for 7 years. This is since our last furlough, is why we have that date there. I left for Africa when I was 21 years old. Now I am 42. I will leave you to do the math. I'm thankful for God's grace enabling me to fulfill the call that He placed on my life for missions around about the time when I was 10 through 12, somewhere in those years. And in the past, I've served in a variety of ways in South Africa and Malawi, both countries in Southern Africa, and then also Ghana in West Africa. In all those places, I was single. I met my wife, Audrey, in South Africa, and we married many years later in 2009. In 2010, we went to Tanzania, landing 5 days before our first wedding anniversary. And so our wedding anniversary is coming up again here in a couple weeks, and it's our eighth, and it will be the first one that we celebrate in the States. Okay, can we go to the next slide, please? I want to just zip through some stats on Tanzania, and then I really want to talk about the ministry. So in 2014, they took a survey. As to the population of Tanzania, there was very close to 52 million. About 68% of the population lives below the poverty line, which is $1.25 a day. 16% of children under the age of 5 are malnourished, and Tanzania ranked 159 out of 187 of the poorest countries. 44% of the population is under the age of 15. In the past, Tanzania has been, it was socialist, and even though that now they have a multi-party system, they're still very much affected by their past, and that their original party still holds the power in the majority of it. You know, change takes a long time, and to change an entire people group, or people groups, I guess, as it is, takes a long time. But we want to believe the Lord for that. There are over 100, and some sources say up to 130 different languages spoken in Tanzania, making it the most linguistically diverse country in East Africa. Among the various languages, all four of Africa's base or our primary languages are represented. But as a nation, Tanzania speaks Swahili. It's only mother tongue to about 5 million, or 10% of the population, and it's spoken as a second language by about 45 million, or 90% of the Tanzanians. So most Tanzanians speak a tribal language and Swahili in addition, and there's only really a very few that effectively know English. Swahili developed as a trade language, a lot of Bantu African as the base, but then there's some Arabic, some Portuguese, and other languages thrown in there. I think a little bit of German and such. In 2010, 61% claimed to be Christian and 32% Muslim. People have asked me if it is true that the presidency of Tanzania alternates Christian and Muslim, and that is not true. That's actually a myth, but it has gone back and forth a lot, but there is no actual law in the Constitution for such thing. Tanzania is bordered by 8 countries. So we have Kenya and Uganda to the north, Rwanda, Burundi, and the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, to the west, Zambia, Malawi, and Mozambique to the south. And then on the east, we have the Indian Ocean, and there's about 500 miles of coast that Tanzania has. Tanzania includes the island of Zanzibar and some other islands, but Zanzibar being the most notable one. And in fact, that's where, when they combine Tanganyika and Zanzibar, that's where we get the name Tanzania. It's a combination of those names. The landmass is over 365 square miles. Tanzania is the 13th largest country in Africa, 31st in the world. So when you look at the nations in Africa, you take Egypt, and Egypt is a bit bigger than Tanzania, and Nigeria is a little bit smaller. Tanzania has both the highest and lowest elevations in Africa. About 38% of the land is protected for conservation, game parks, and such. Now, Audrey and I live in a city called Mbeya. On the map there, you can see it's in the southwest. And we have to be clear on Mbeya. It is both a city and a region. So it's kind of a complex question when someone says, well, how many people are in Mbeya? It's the fifth largest city in Tanzania. And the urban population for the city, according to 2005, they guesstimated 280,000. And as a region, about 2 million. The elevation of Mbeya is at 5,500 feet above sea level, so it's a very pleasant climate for most of the year. So you have no excuses to not come and visit us whenever you can. Mbeya was founded in the 1920s after a 1905 gold rush. Man, when I put that in my notes, yes, God, we want that. We want the gold. We want to extract the gold spiritually. Now, it is alongside of a main road going east and west through the country, basically, and that road will take you out to the coast to Dar es Salaam. That road is part of the Great North Road. That Great North Road starts down in South Africa in Cape Town, and it goes up through the continent, and it goes to Alexandria in Egypt. Mbeya is part of the breadbasket for Tanzania. It is the largest producer for Tanzania of corn, rice, bananas, beans, potatoes, soya nuts, and wheat. And then other cash crops include coffee, tea, cocoa, and spices. The area around Mbeya is referred to sometimes as the Scotland of Africa. Again, you should come. Between Dar and Mbeya is about 600 miles apart, but that doesn't sound like a very long distance, but that will take you every bit of 14 hours and quite possibly longer. There are many villages that are along the road, and they haven't really zoned it to be, you know, a national highway. There are many speed zones as a result of that that are 30 kilometers per hour. That's 18.641 miles per hour. And then they have built into the road very often these rumble strips. And so if you are going at normal or regular speed, you hit those things and it shakes and destroys your vehicle and your body. So I think they intend for you to drive over them very slowly. But I have found if you're going fast enough, and you don't feel them so much, but there are police. And they like to pop out with their little handheld radar guns. I think it was a European country that gave it to them. And they can be fairly corrupt. Not always straight across the board. I'm generalizing, but it is a stress, a pressure that you face. And this road I'm talking from Mbeya to Dar es Salaam, it is the only road. In America, we have so many options, alternate routes. The bridge is out, or there's construction, whatever it is. So many alternate routes. There in Africa, so often you have one main road. It is a major trucking route. So not only for throughout Tanzania, but it goes down into Lusaka, Zambia, and also Malawi. So you get a lot of these trucks, a lot of them overloaded, moving slowly. It's almost never more than two lanes, and I mean one lane each direction. So if you're behind a slow-moving truck and it's not conducive to pass, you can lose a lot of time. Okay, can we go to the next slide, please? I would like to talk about the ministry that Zion has there in Tanzania. And it began when a lady, Sister Clara Rhines, went and lived there in Tanzania, ministered in Tanzania. She was there from 1986 to 1988, and she actually laid her life down there. And my wife and I just really consider it a tremendous privilege to be following after that. Look forward to spending time with her in heaven one day. After that, in 2001, the Oaks were there. Pastor Dan, Sister Jan Oaks, they're not there for very long, health reasons, but they registered Zion Fellowship Incorporated, a very major key for us. And so, though those things have happened in the past, we're still in the beginning stages. It's very much like we have received the baton ourselves, and we are running by the grace of God. Okay, next slide. Our main focus in the ministry, it's a teaching God's word. So we can be invited to other Bible schools, and other Bible schools, they can be fairly small, fairly informal usually. A lot of the mainline denominations have their own, and if we got invited to those, we would love to teach in them, but you tend not to get those invitations, not yet. A lot of the teaching is church seminars. Some of it's Sunday morning services. We've had some opportunities to teach Sunday school teachers, and a little bit of working with youth. Basically, our teaching opportunities come as invitations, a result of word of mouth. And so if you think that an itinerant ministry is exciting, I can assure you, you're right. It is very exciting. Usually, I am on some form of African transportation, whether it be a bus, a motorcycle, one of these little three-wheel, we call them bajajis. I guess they call them tuk-tuks other place. I think it's because they want to tuk-tuk your life away. Or there's a lorry. So it's this truck that's got an open back, and it's for cows, crops, and crazies. I came home one time. I wanted to get out of the village. I wanted to get home as soon as I could, and it was on a lorry. And my wife says, never again. That's too dangerous. I have not yet rode a donkey cart, but maybe by my next furlough, we'll see. We've had many wonderful opportunities to teach, and we do believe that there's fruit there. And it seems it could be that the ministry continues this way. There could still be fruit, but we desperately want to hear from the Lord. Lord, what is your plan? Do you want things to continue the way they are? Or do you want to shift something? Do you want it to become more of a Zion Bible school? It's possible. And we just want to hear from him and then go forward with his faith. Now, the thing is, Zion desperately needs to get their books translated into Swahili. And for a number of reasons, that has not been released yet. We've gotten a book done, and we've worked with a number of translators. For good and bad reasons, a number of translators have not worked out. And so please, just pray with us, and we need to see this breakthrough. And that's probably the largest next thing for the ministry to go to a deeper level. We do have the Book of Repentance in Swahili, and there are some others in various parts along the way, but we actually need a translator again. If someone asked me what my biggest challenge is, I could reduce it all down and say it's dealing with people that have a different mindset. There's a verse in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, and I'm taking it a bit out of context, but I still feel that it is appropriate. The first part says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so it affects the way you look at a situation. It affects right and wrong, or your feeling, well, not right or wrong, it affects people's feelings on right and wrong. It affects their expectations, their motivations. There's so much. You know, all these years on, I still realize, oh, they were thinking this, and I was thinking that, and that resulted in misunderstanding or what have you. Okay, can we go to the next slide, please? There we are, the whole team of us, the three couples. In 1985, Reverend Eldon and Lois Krupp were going to Tanzania, but then things changed. Well, now Dad and Mom are in the process of moving to Tanzania. That's the way the Lord has led them. They will live on a second house on our compound in the back. And so they will be able to remain in ministry. They won't be as cumbered down with a lot of the pressures and the stresses that they had there in Malawi. And still be able to reach Malawi if the Lord would allow that. And of course, you can see Audrey's brother and wife, Daniel and Kasha, there with us. So once we can get that, once the Lord can get that property in Malawi sold and release mom and dad, then we'll be six strong in Tanzania. We're excited. We're looking forward to that. We want to just see the Lord's plans for that. And so finally, I want to just conclude by looking at the prayer request. Please pray with us for effective, affordable, and an excellent way for Zion's books to be quickly translated. Please pray for us that Reverend Eldon and Lois' property sells in Malawi and they're able to move and settle well in Tanzania. And we hear from the Lord who should have what role, how we flow together, so we're not redundant, all of those sort of things. You can pray that Audrey and I learn more Swahili. She's better at it, but still we need more Swahili. It's what we have is not enough yet. Pray that we would hear from God if he desires to make a shift in the ministry. I've had this happen a couple of times, and so now I'm a little more alert and saying, okay, Holy Spirit, if that's what you want to do, please just make it clear what we should do. As the Zion team, I can say, solidifies. And finally, just pray that there would be a greater impact and more fruit for the Lord. That's been gripping me real lately. Not that I go back and just do the same old thing, or if I do, that there's a it's a deeper level. Amen? God bless you.